You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Merry Christmas, everybody! I know rabbits are normally associated with Easter, but me, I'm all about the winter holidays. If you ask me, there's no better time to come out of your own little hole and celebrate the spirit of giving with everybody you see.
Hey! Watch where you point that thing, you big palooka!
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond's 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. This is day 13. I am, of course, TFGN Mike. And returning from day 11 is TV's Mr. Neil.
This is the last time I work with someone with a speech impediment.
Donald Duck is not here. I don't know what you're talking about. I got the reference, obviously.
Better than quoting this cartoon.
Oh, come on. All right. Come on
I'm going to be such a killjoy on this one.
Oh, come on. All right. So the cartoon here in day 13 we're talking about is Bahum Duck, A Looney Tunes Christmas, which, as I've said the past 12 days and as I will say the remaining 8 or 7 days of the 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond 2016 Christmas thing here, I went in 2011 and spent day and a half getting all these cartoons together in a list. And we originally planned to do this like 2012, 2013, and it's not happening until 2016, which just so happens to be the 10th anniversary of Bahum Duck, A Looney Tunes Christmas. I so did not plan this, folks. And we can tell by Neil's silence that he just doesn't give a rat's duck. So, Bah Humduck, folks, is basically a Christmas Carol with Looney Tunes, but it's modified beyond the original Charles Dickens story.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Well, but they had to fit it to the Looney Tunes characters. And I understand that. And I get that. And this is 2006. This is before they're doing the Looney Tunes show. This is before they're doing Wabbit. And before they're doing... At least it isn't Lunatics Unleashed. Or Lunatics Unleashed or whatever the... Yeah. Oh, just wait. Next year, you and I are going to have a lot of fun with that episode. I know the torture you go through for your listeners and the fans and me and everybody else. But anyway, Bah Humduck. Like I said, it's basically a Christmas Carol Looney Tunes style. Daffy is CEO, head guy, president of the Lucky Duck Corporation. It kind of combines, now that I'm thinking about this, he's kind of like a Daddy Warbucks at this point.
Somewhat.
Oh, boy. So it's Daffy and all the Looney Tunes, all of the Looney Tunes characters, most of the major ones, make even just a non-speaking cameo in this. Daffy is the Scrooge. Porky is the Bob Cratchit. Bugs, I'm not too sure what he's supposed to be here.
Bugs is basically the narrator. Okay. Slash,
that works, that works.
Conscience, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. We also have...
He's Jiminy Cricket in this.
Oh, Lord. That's kind of scary when you think about it. The main cast here for this is Joe Alesky as Daffy, Sylvester, Marvin, Pepe, which I love Joe Alesky, but since another certain actor is in this one, I almost wish they would have got him to do Pepe. Joe also does Foghorn. Bob Bergen does, obviously, Porky, Speedy, and Tweety. Billy West is Bugs and Elmer. June Foray, as always, Granny. And Maurice LaMarche, who I was hoping would also be Pepe, because he does a fairly good Pepe impression, is Yosemite Sam. Jim Cummings is the Tasmanian Devil and Gossamer. I did not know that that was Jim Cummings off the top of my head, but okay. And, of course, Tara Strong, Priscilla Pig, who is Porky's daughter, and she's also the voice of the house mother in the flashback. I just love this, because this was 2006, folks. There wasn't a lot of Looney Tunes, like classic Looney Tunes type stuff. And Bugs has had other voice actors besides Billy. I mean, Billy does a very well-to-do, very, very interesting Bugs Bunny, and he works it up very well. You know, there's also been Jeff Bergman and a few other people that have played Bugs. Was Duck Dodgers still going on at this time, or was it over?
Oh, I don't know.
This was 2006. That was 2003. It only had four. I think I'd have to look, but I think Duck Dodgers and this were working at the same time. So you got Joe as Daffy and Bob as Porky, so kind of like, you know, Duck Dodgers, which is kind of cool. Yeah, the voice cast in this is just... I just love this, and I love a lot of the jokes. I really do. Hey, look, it's a fudsicle. So as I said, basic plot before, you know, Daffy is the greedy, money-hungry, grubby guy. He really always has been ever since they turned him from being wacky into being this self-centered duck.
So I mean, since the heel turn.
Yeah, I mean, ain't that the truth? And it wasn't that much of a hard heel turn either. That was a pretty smooth transition. I mean, come on. I like stingy, greedy Daffy, but what I like him for is, you know, stuff like the Chuck Jones, you know, the Duck Rabbit Season stuff and all that and everything else, you know. So Wacky Daffy was a little too wacky for me in the early goings, but so we got him. As you said, Bugs is essentially the Jiminy Cricket. Porky is the Bob Cratchit type character. And then you've got everybody else. You've got Sylvester as the ghost, the business partner. Are you just going to sigh the whole time on this one? Come on. I know I'm going to give you a chance to talk here, but, you know, you got, oh boy. Who is the ghost of Christmas past?
That would have been Sylvester. He was past. Present was Yosemite Sam.
Okay, and then...
wait a minute. No, I'm getting it confused. No, Sylvester was Marley.
Sylvester was Marley.
Granny was past.
Okay. We got this, folks. We're all right. So Sylvester was Marley. Granny and Tweety were the ghost of Christmas past. And then Yosemite Sam was ghost of Christmas present. And then some random guy was the ghost of Christmas future. Which, come to find out, and I knew I had to look it up as soon as I heard the guy's voice. Essentially, that's Papa Q Bear as the ghost of Christmas future from Berenstain Bears.
I thought it was the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, no, wait. What am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking of 2 days from now. Yeah, you're right. It is Taz. I'm thinking of... crap. The bedrock bug has got me, folks. That's 2 days away. Anyway, I'll bring that up next time. So yeah, Taz is the ghost of Christmas future, and out of all these ones that I've seen, because A Christmas Carol has been done cartoon style for a long time. The first one I ever saw, we'll talk about later in this first annual 25 Days of Christmas, which was Mickey's A Christmas Carol.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And not the Flintstones.
Oh, no. I like Taz's Ghost of Christmas Future. I think it's kind of fun and interesting. I think the best one that ever did an animated version of it was Mickey's Christmas Carol, because you had Pete as the Ghost of Christmas Future in that one. So yeah, we will most definitely be talking about Mickey's Christmas Carol at some point. All right, so what is your issue with this one? Why are you a Bah Humbug to Bah Humduck?
Because it's not funny. I expect something from the Looney Tunes. I expect grand visual humor. I expect, you know, a great sense of subtlety in the humor. I expect a lot of things. And this was just, it's so flat. It's like, it's kind of like if you've ever collected comic books, like it's like that one issue where suddenly there's a different artist and you're like, oh, I liked it. Look how it looked the other way, and it's just, you know, it's never going to go back to the way it was. And it's, I felt like this cartoon needed to be visited by the ghosts of Tex Avery, Chuck Jones, and Frizz Freleng, because it's missing that element, that great sense of humor and timing, and it just felt so. It didn't feel like a Looney Tunes to me. It just felt so hollow. And this is kind of my thing where, like, I have to like say to people, these characters, they don't really exist. What the people who do exist are the people who write the cartoons, and these aren't the same people who did the classic one. So it's like, this feels like, I don't know, maybe something from like, almost like the Smurfs. How the Smurfs are kind of like not funny and kind of generic and could have been put in a situation like this. It doesn't feel like a Looney Tunes cartoon at all.
Okay, yeah. It really isn't a Looney Tunes. It is a Looney Tunes cartoon, but it isn't a Looney Tunes cartoon because you have the Looney Tunes characters basically putting on a play of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
They're, you know, you have their standard traits. You know, Bugs is always the kind of good guy, even though in this he's the conscience, and Daffy's always the egomaniacal, greedy son of a bitch that he's been since, as you said, the heel turn. And, you know, Porky and everybody else. I think the difference here is because of the story, they had to find a way to manipulate the Looney Tunes characters to fit A Christmas Carol. Like, you know, Porky is Bob Cratchit or Cragget or whatever his name. He just calls him assistant manager or assistant manager or whatever.
Yeah. It seems like the solution to a problem that nobody ever asked. It's like, how can we shoehorn the Looney Tunes characters into a Christmas Carol? And my answer is, you don't need to do that. Make a normal one. Make Duck Dodgers.
You can... Did Duck Dodgers have a holiday episode? I do not remember that. Okay.
Probably not, but it should have.
Yeah, it should have. As I said, they give Porky a daughter, and apparently Petunia has passed away at this point, which is kind of sad. So,
did Petunia ever truly live? I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. All right, dude.
I mean, I think she was in like the Golden Books, and maybe like a.
Well,
maybe like a public service announcement about voting or something. But outside of that, I don't remember her ever being in a cartoon.
Well, she's a character on my desktop because I'm currently sitting here holding Petunia Pig Wonder Woman from the Super Looney Tunes from McDonald's. So there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something, I guess. I don't know. I just remember, and you know, like you said, they didn't really push the Porky Petunia thing on us. It's not like Pepe and the female cat, you know, because let's face it, between Porky and Pepe, Pepe is more of a horn dog than Porky is.
Yeah. I will say, I was rather surprised to see Pepe Le Pew and Speedy Gonzalez in this, because I'm pretty sure by this point they were like, you know, these are pretty politically incorrect. You have the stereotypical Hispanic and the smelly Frenchman. So I would have thought they would have been weeded out by this point, but here they are.
You know, I haven't seen this in 10 years. I haven't seen this since it came out on DVD, video, whatever you want to call it. And watching it back, I was surprised at how many of all of them got in there, even with the non-speed. Throwing Hubie and Birdie in there, that just made my day. Even though they didn't speak, even though, you know, Hubie didn't grab him and smack him upside the face, you know, and Birdie didn't say, right, you know, even though they didn't say, just seeing them. You know, you got Pete Puma in here, you got, you know, Gosnar had a bit of a speaking role as the security guard.
Claude Cat.
Claude Cat, because Sylvester's in there too.
You got that one brown dog that only appeared once, I think.
Frisky.
Yeah.
That was No Barking. That's one of my favorites. Because that was the one with him and Claude Cat. I think you even had Sylvester Jr. because I think he got squashed by something.
Oh, my God.
I think he's in here. I think he was. I don't know. Watching this again, is it something that I'm going to watch every year? No, probably not, but it's something I could watch every few years. I did really enjoy this because of the voice acting. That's really where this... And the animation, because I think this was the last quote-unquote classic Looney Tunes style used before, as I said, they went into the Looney Tunes Show and Wabbit and... There was something else in between Looney Tunes Show and Wabbit, I think. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, I think what they did here, especially for Daffy, even though we see the turn back to him being, you know, because he has to come out of his Scrooge moment, the backstory here of everybody got a home, but he didn't. And that's part of the Charles Dickens thing as well, but some adaptations don't play that off very well at all. I think this one did. And this one, he did not need the Belle part of the story. He did not need the love interest part of the story, which is, I'm kind of glad they didn't throw that in there. But I do like the whole Daffy in the orphanage. And I think this is the first time since Baby Looney Tunes that I've even seen Baby Daffy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have thrown the love interest in there. They could have used Melissa from the Scarlet Pumpernickel.
They could have, yes.
That would have been a grab.
That would have worked. I could see that. Yeah, absolutely.
And one other thing is that I thought it was a nice touch that they made Sylvester Jacob Marley, just because I've heard at least two voice actors say that Daffy and Sylvester are basically the same character, except the one's kind of sped up
mm-hmm.
to to pitch him up at least.
Yeah.
I mean, Daffy even says suffering succotash in this, which is normally Sylvester's line.
Yep. Well, at least it wasn't Roman Reigns saying it.
Oh, oops. God.
Sorry, folks. A bit of mayhem. Mike's coming out here on Tooncast Beyond, oh boy. But Bah Humduck, happy 10th anniversary. I know you're not too positive on this one, but going back and watching it again, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Because as I said, there are bad versions of A Christmas Carol. There are versions that are more warped than this, that change and configure into the story and whatever else, and you take personal lives and plays and combine them into one big mess, and you'll have what we talk about in 2 days from now. So, on a scale of 0 to 5, what would you give Bah Humduck?
0.
Oh, come on!
I did not enjoy this at all, and I think any classic Looney Tunes fan out there, you will understand where I'm coming from on this.
I mean,
it's just not the Looney Tunes. I mean, the thing we talk about on the next episode has more of the spirit of the Looney Tunes than this does.
Wow. All right. You got to stop being a Scrooge about this, because it's not about a classic Looney Tunes story. It's about and I know you say it shouldn't be done, but it's about putting the Looney Tunes characters into the Charles Dickens story. And I thought they pulled it off very well. I really, really did. Well, you know what, folks? I don't care. I got to give it 4.5. Because there wasn't anything in here that made me roll my eyes. And yes, I am a classic Looney Tunes fan, just like you are. But, I mean, it's not an original story for those characters. So, it's not an original story for those characters. So, that's why I'm giving it a lot of leeway and a lot of enjoyment. Because it's them starring in something that isn't anything that we've already had before at that point in 2006. And as I said, for me, the voice acting, par none. I mean, okay, sure. At this point, Mel Blanc was gone for about, what? When did he die?
89, I think.
89, yeah. So, 2006, Mel Blanc had almost been dead for 20 some odd years at this point. Almost, well, 2015, whatever. And you have to find other voice actors that can fit these roles. And their work in this is what made it good for me. I mean, there's nobody else in my mind. And I don't know who's doing Daffy right now. I'd have to look. I'm not looking at who's doing Daffy on Wabbit or wherever else. Other than Joe and Bob, outside of Mel, those are the guys that do Daffy and Porky so well. So, and the same thing with Yosemite Sam, with Maurice, because Maurice LaMarche does that extremely well. And Jim has been doing Taz since, I think, Mel died as well.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and Jim as Taz is great. So
I'm sure if it wasn't for union regulations, Jim Cummings could probably do every voice in this cartoon.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm just saying the guy is really talented.
He is the
chameleon voice of voice actors.
He is, very much so. And, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, she wasn't in a lot of scenes, but June is Granny. I mean, June's been doing Granny since the original days. I mean, oh, man. Yeah, she's been doing Granny a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that Daffy is a stand-in for Sylvester at this point, even though Daffy's not trying to get Tweety, where she has to whack him upside his head. Oh, it's so funny. All right, folks. One of us loved this, the other one, not so much. I hope people enjoy this. or try to enjoy it. I can see some of the faults that Neil pointed out, but at the same time, just the sheer enjoyment of the voice acting just pushes all that negativity past me. So tune in tomorrow when we go to Acme Acres for a very it's a Wonderful Tiny Toons Christmas. I never saw that movie. I could never get past the title. See you tomorrow, folks, on 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas.
Good morning, Mr. Duck.
I told Fat Pig to be here. What do I look like, an ATM? Why is it around the holidays, every vagrant thinks they're entitled to hit up hard-working businessmen?
Hey, Doc, that's no way to treat those less fortunate. Where's your sense of holiday spirit?
Who asked you to butt in, long ears?
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Happy holidays, Mr. Duck. We're collecting donations for needy families.
Well, that's an interesting spin on trespassing, pandering, and illegal solicitation. Scram before I send you all to elf prison!